everyone, and welcome to Minute 4 of the Great Escape Minute, the daily podcast where we dig into the Great Escape 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob.
I'm Tom.
And once again, this week, we still don't have any guests. We're going to wait for that for next week. So this week, you get to hear just me and Tom talk about the first five silent minutes of this movie, since there's absolutely no dialogue, or at least no audible dialogue or decipherable dialogue, I guess you can say, in these minutes. So minute 4 starts off with a bunch of German soldiers disembarking their truck and taking position, and ends when they open the gates for the prisoners to enter the camp itself. This was actually a fascinating minute from my perspective, because a lot of the characters, if you've seen this movie before, you're familiar with the characters. So just to see what the characters are doing in this minute is great. I mean, someone who's watching this for the first time is not going to notice a lot of these things, because they wouldn't know who to look for. But for people who like me, who've seen this movie numerous times, when you see a familiar face, you want to look and see what they're doing. And, you know, the obvious advantage of watching a minute over and over and over the course of a lot of time. So you catch numerous things that are going on. I found it to be very interesting, the precision that of the way that they have all the German soldiers, you know, when they're lining up, and when their cars are all parking, you know, they all park in precision, the way the motorcycles all line up and stuff like that. I thought that was very interesting. I mean, obviously, it's a stereotype by saying that German soldiers, you know, were very precise and did things specific ways. But it was interesting to see the way that they were able to show that here. I mean, it's a little thing that just takes a few seconds, but when you're looking at it, it's just very interesting to see the way that all the actors playing these soldiers doing it. And I just found it, one of the things I found really funny is you have a group of soldiers all lined up, of German soldiers, and they'll take out their guns and they're pointing them at the trucks, you know, waiting for all the soldiers to come out. And then you get a shot and you see that the third German soldier along the line is just is a lot shorter than all the rest. And the first thing that went to my mind when I saw that is, aren't you a little short for a stormtrooper?
I saw that short guy too, and I was like, okay. And he's also
like, it looks like someone that they just needed an extra, you know, that they because all the other soldiers are pretty much the same height, more or less. And then here, you know, you have one that just doesn't fit in it. And also, if you look close, it looks like his clothes don't fit him either.
So, right, he's short. Yeah. He looks like he's a little chubbier than the rest of them. And I might be wrong on that part, but yeah, it's like one of these things is not like the other.
Yeah. No, it just looked really funny because of the difference, the way that he looked. And, you know, that, like I said, the Star Wars quote from Princess Leia just popped into my mind when I saw it, because, you know, it obviously fits in well with the German soldiers, you know, when you're talking about stormtroopers. And what it's also interesting that here you finally see the trucks pulling up. And if you count the trucks, there's 7 trucks, even though earlier it looked like there were 10. So it was interesting to watch that, you know, to see the discrepancy there.
Well, I don't know if it's a discrepancy, because looking at it...
It looks that way.
Well, but I mean, I guess I get the impression there's 7 trucks on one side of the gate, 3 on the other, and it could just be the way they shoot it, but it kind of looks like there's trucks on both sides of the main gate, is kind of what I saw.
Right, but you don't see the trucks... In an earlier part, you see 3 trucks park on the side.
Right.
No, so it was interesting. So if anyone out there actually counted and knows the difference, you can tell us about that too. You can give us your impression as to why it looks the way that we think it looks, but maybe it doesn't. So then you watch all of these prisoners get out of the truck. And as I mentioned earlier, that was just a lot of fun to watch. I'm actually gonna see if how close you were paying attention. What things did you see the prisoners carrying? What were some strange things you saw carrying?
Well, I don't know if I would call it strange, but one of the things I really liked is Ives has his boots around his neck, because as you'll see him later when he's not getting into too much spoilers, you always kind of see him with those. So that was fun to see. You've got the big old chest. Forget his blanking on his name now, but you see him come up with the big old footlocker that comes up.
Cedric?
Yeah.
You're talking about Cedric?
Yep, he comes out. I don't know why I blanked on the name. He comes out with the big old chest, which was entertaining to see, because that'll come back up later. Was there anything you saw in particular?
Yes. Well, first of all, most of them obviously have, you know, canteens or cups. Right. you know, that are somewhat strapped to them. They have blankets that most of them are carrying. There's a character who's carrying a box that's tied with string or by rope, and that's just like has a blanket half covering it. And the most interesting thing that I saw that I'm surprised they never even tried to use later in the movie is the fact that there's a guy carrying a guitar.
Yes.
which was just so amazing. I mean, as I've mentioned before, I've seen this movie so many times and I never noticed that, because it's not something that comes up later in the, you know, later in the movie. It's not like Rio Bravo, where right in the middle, you know, they just start singing and, you know, they're playing the guitar or whatever it is. You know, this is a guy who has a car. Now, I can understand why he would have a guitar. I would question how he got the guitar. That's a separate issue. But also, if you look at all of these characters, their uniforms, they don't look like they've been prisoners for so long. Most of them have uniforms that look pretty clean.
Yeah, I don't know what the laundry situation is, and because it's not like they're wearing fatigues. I mean, they're wearing service uniforms. So, like, how did you guys keep that, and how do these service uniforms still fit? I mean, some of them I know we'll get into later. They talk about how long they've been in, but, like, some of these guys have been in POW camps for 3 years.
Right, but you also don't see sweat stains on any of these uniforms. You don't see, I mean, most of them have their hats. You know, these are all Air Force.
Yeah.
You know, the Luftwaffe is guarding them because they're Air Force prisoners, you know. So it means that most of these people probably jumped out of a plane, but surprisingly they still were able to hold on to their hats. And, you know, keep, obviously the various uniforms of most of these characters are mix and match. I mean, I'm definitely not an authority on the way that the British uniforms of the British Air Force uniforms were at the time. When you look at it, you say that you wonder where are they all getting these uniforms from. So I found that to be very interesting. I mean, I actually looked it up, and there was Brett Hendrickson did the wardrobe for this movie, and I through the research that I did, it was quite interesting that a lot of the uniforms are very authentic, even if they're mixed and matched. Again, I'm not an authority on it, but based on what I read, most of them, you know, have bits and pieces of their real uniforms, whether it was from the Canadians or the Australians or the South Africans or the Polish, or obviously mostly the British. But it was quite interesting watching it.
I mean, that makes sense too, just given when the movie came out, it would be easier to get your hands on, you know, authentic World War II military uniform. You know, the same way, you know, it's easier to get your hands on, you know, the old U.S. Army ACU stuff than it is to get your hands on, you know, stuff that goes farther back. It's, you just have that proximity to the actual time that gives you more options than maybe you would have if this movie were to have been made 20 years later.
Correct, but there is the idea that even though the uniforms are authentic, but to have to figure out a way to mix and match each of them, you know, for each of these characters, you're not talking about, you know, giving every single character the exact same wardrobe. It's the idea of saying, okay, this is the type of wardrobe that these characters should be having, and we're going to give this one that, and this one this, and, you know, each of them are going to have different uniforms to take on. I mean, some of them also have scarves. I mean, you can clearly see that Cavendish has a scarf, Haynes has a scarf, which would make somewhat more sense if, you know, if this did take place in March, as opposed to, actually, the truth is we don't know what month they've reached the Stella, so it's possible that they actually got here where it's colder, or they came from somewhere that was colder, and that's why they had them. So it's interesting watching that. Another thing that I noticed, which was very fun to notice, is that Cavendish actually jumps off the truck twice.
I did not notice that. Did he?
He
really?
Jumps off the truck. He jumps off the truck, and then afterwards they go to a shot where they're showing Haynes and Ives, which, even though Ives has his boots around his neck, it looks like he still has some sort of shoes or boots on.
Right.
No, sorry. He has shoes around his neck and he's wearing boots. That's the difference. And then right after that scene, that it goes back and it shows Cavendish jumping off the truck again. Cavendish actually jumps off the first truck. And the funny thing is when he's jumping off the truck the second time, you see that something gets in his eye.
Yep.
you know, like maybe some sand flew in his eye or something like that at the time, and he rubs his eye and then he gives a dirty look at the guy next to him. So it makes you wonder what that actor was doing at the time that got him a little bit flustered or frustrated. We also get a quick shot of a few of the German officers who just look at everything going on and then look away. You know, they're not doing anything. They're also not characters who will see do very much later on. You know, they're just overseeing the deployment of all of these prisoners.
Right. I almost wonder if these ones we see during the unloading, you know, end up taking all these trucks and going away again, because it doesn't ever seem like there's that many. You know, like we touched on earlier, it never seems like there's that many German at the camp. So it wouldn't surprise me if the idea is these guys are prisoners. Transports and then they go off to do some other transportation somewhere else and just leave the ones we see inside the wire for the long term.
Right. Well, the truth is, if you look at the very last few seconds of the minute, we get to see some of the German soldiers within the wire.
Yep.
And you can actually recognize two of them that later on. You know, we deal with the actors. You can see Robert Graf and Till Wilkner just standing. And it's interesting that from a distance you can even recognize them by their stance and by the... I mean, you can see them more prominently in the next minute. So yesterday we were discussing that today you tell everyone your history about this movie, since I already told mine.
Yeah, so similar to you, my father really loved this movie. And I think it was from Turner Classic Movies. We had a VHS recording of it, you know, and it was super grainy and low quality, because it had to be low quality if you wanted to get a 3-hour movie onto a cassette. But I remember watching this pretty regularly as a kid. It was just kind of on the shelf of, I want a movie to watch, and, you know, I want something that's not geared towards my little sister, because, you know, this is just one of those movies that I have no idea how many times I've seen it. It was always just, you know, do I want to watch Star Wars? Do I want to watch The Great Escape? Do I want to watch, you know, a John Wayne movie? It was, you know, just kind of the list of, there's obviously more on the list too. And so it was always just one of those that I watched on a regular basis. I also feel like it was on Turner Classic Movies an awful lot in the mid to late 90s. And so, and when I got to middle school, like I said earlier, I ended up actually doing a report on the book it was based off of because I loved the movie so much. Then as I've grown to be an adult, it's always just been one of those movies, you know, it's basically filled the same spot of, I'm doing something, I want a movie to put on in the background, and where I can walk in or I can leave the room and not pay attention, but I look up, I see where we are, and I go, oh yeah, this is a good bit. I want to watch this for 5 minutes while I'm taking a break from the other stuff I'm supposed to be doing. That's kind of where I'm at with the film.
Okay, cool. That's great. I the two other things I forgot to mention about when all the soldiers are walking, and I asked you before if you noticed anything else that they were carrying. There's also a point where you see two soldiers, each of them carrying a strap of some sort of box or duffel bag or something like that, and they're carrying it together, which is also quite interesting to see the camaraderie, you know,
that
you
can see that.
Yeah. And you can also actually, right behind Sedgwick, right before they cut out from there, you can see Hiltz. You see Steve McQueen just for a fraction of a second there, but you can tell by his costume and by the way that he walks that it's him, or at least someone pretending to be him, because you never know, they might have had a stand in there or something like that. You know, that I couldn't take. yeah, so you have anything else for this minute?
Nope, not for this one.
All right, well, just to remind everyone, you can rate, review, and subscribe to us. Our website is thegreatescapeminute.com. You can contact us on Twitter at greatescapemxm. Our Facebook group is The Cooler, and you can reach us by email, thegreatminute@gmail.com. We love to hear from you. You know, we want to hear what you all think about this movie, what you think about what we think about this movie. You know, it would be great to have some conversations online, offline, whatever, about this movie. And we hope you're enjoying this. And tomorrow we'll be back for the final episode of this week, where it'll just be Tom and I talking. Or Tom and me talking. Me and Tom. Either way, however you want to look at it. I don't have to be an English major. Even I am an English major, but that's besides the point. And then next week we'll be around with some guests. Tally ho.